and welcome to PHPBB Weekly. Today is November 15th. I am your host, David Lewis, also known as Highway of Life, and with me today is...
I am the great French chef, John Zuckoff, Douglas Bell, the great cook behind the PHPBB, something like that.
Oh, how bad was my French accent? That was good. I like that. That was funny.
Actually, that was well done.
That was.
That's someone who has never seen Ratatouille, by the way.
Shame, shame. You should see it. I like that. I like that movie. That's a good movie. You should see that.
That's awesome.
All right. This is the weekly podcast of the forum software called PHPBB, where we talk all about bulletin board, mods, anything that you want to discuss with PHPBB. You can call in to PHPBB Weekly at 724-444-7444. Call ID is 12418. You can also join us on the chat room at talkshoe.com and click on the PHPBB Weekly icon. Our unofficial IRC channel is /PHPBB-weekly on irc.freenode.net. It's not hash. I don't call it hash.
Yeah, take that, Michael. Take that.
You can also stream PHPBB Weekly off our website at phpbbweekly.net.
Did you know that you forgot to introduce our special guest today?
I'm introducing him in a minute.
Okay. You're gonna have to wait. Let David take.
See, now you've see Douglas is like, oh, wait, let me interrupt David while he's doing his housekeeping thing. Okay. Sure.
Go ahead.
So feel free to call in and join us, ask us a question, join us on the chat room, ask us questions live on the show. So, and if you would like to be a guest on PHP Weekly, ask Douglas.
Yes. We're looking for
today.
Not that desperate.
Today we have a very special guest with us. As many of you may have heard from our show last week, there's been some changes with the PHPBB, PHPBB.com, PHPBB software recently, as far as the team changes. As you know, WG Eric went over to the operations manager from mod team leader and appointed Igor, also known as Evil Heart, in his place as succeeding as mod team leader. Then the PHPBB teams announced last week, I guess it was last week or the week before, sometime ago. Yeah, it was the week before. Okay. So they announced that Neothermic had stepped down as support team leader, and Marshall Rusty had taken his place, succeeding as the support team leader. So we'd like to welcome Yuri, Marshall Rusty, to the show. Welcome, Yuri.
Let's go.
Thanks. Good to be here.
And he IM'd me this week saying that I actually pronounced his last name right last week.
Rusko?
Yes. You did. Rusko.
Rusko.
I think the two possible pronunciations are Rusko or Rusko, right?
Yep. Well, I mean, there are others that people get very, very wrong, but those are the two big ones.
I think I've always said Rusko, but we've had you on the show quite a bit, so we should have it right by now.
Yep, got a few people to know. It's nice.
All right. All right, well, let me take care of a little bit of house cleaning. PHPBB Weekly is sponsored by GoToMeeting. Do you have to travel for business but are constantly feeling the wrath of flight delays and other problems? There's an easier and more effective way. GoToMeeting, the award-winning service that lets you hold meetings over the internet with people in multiple locations. You can log on to GoToMeeting.com and start meetings with a click, and instantly everyone sees your computer desktop on their computer screen. It's less effective and less time-consuming than meeting in person. Try GoToMeeting for free for 30 days. Go to GoToMeeting.com/TetPodcast and start your doing more and traveling less.
Yes.
All right. So, big news this week.
Big news that we talked like for half an hour about last week, too. But this is the week of the big news.
Right. This is the week of the big news. This is when you actually, when people actually get to do something about the news that we talked about.
Exactly.
PHPBB.
Like the PHPBB Fortune Tellers Weekly or something.
Yeah. PHPBB released 3.0.3 this week. So this is the... What was it called?
Hooray, New Features Edition.
Yes.
As by Mike Cyberstein.
And this is one we've talked about for a long time, okay? Because remember, we've had the Lund Invasion.
We had a blog post back in July before Lund Invasion about the new template inheritance feature.
Yeah, so all this stuff, and we've gone a little bit longer than my original prediction, I think by a couple of weeks. But nevertheless, it's here. 3.0.3, adding quite a bit new features, no security updates. There's a couple of security precaution. Actually, one security precaution. And they actually added that tag. If you remember, we discussed this before, a new tag in the changelog that basically differentiates a security vulnerability patch and a security precaution to prevent security issues in the future. Looks like what
so
he had
this
the.
This is pretty good because since 3.0.2, 4 months ago, there have been no security vulnerabilities that had to get fixed. That's the difference between a precaution. It's like, well, it's not a vulnerability. It's just, we're just making things even more secure than it already was.
So right. Just preventing any possible thing that might come up in the future, you know. And and actually, these are not bugs. You could almost call them bugs. It's kind of a, you know, mix between
this. Well, in this specific case, I mean, it's something that hypothetically could be exploited. So it's a precaution in the sense that there doesn't actually exist an exploit, mm-hmm. and no one has tried enough to actually come up with an exploit that would be able to take care of this. But it is hypothetically possible to do so. So it's not entirely, you know, free or clean. There is the possibility that someone would be able to take advantage of this. Probably would be able to take advantage of this. So the security precaution is, in a sense, that there is no exploit, and they are taking care of it before it shows up in public and before people start using it, if that is possible. And if it's not, great. But if it is, you know, now it's not possible.
Yes, and who has been finding these? The security team for PHPBB, not the public, which is great. The security team for PHPBB is finding
one of those hidden teams, like junior validators.
Yeah, well, Techie, you might have seen a couple of changelog entries with Techie Michael and HOL, that's the Highway of Life. You might have seen a couple of those in there. That's okay. So basically, there's a bunch of members that are sort of part of the security team, kind of like we have the website team, but there's actually a dedicated security team. So one of their jobs is to look for vulnerabilities or possible vulnerabilities or think about ways that you can possibly exploit it and come up with solutions. So that's what one of these are. So it's great. It's a good thing.
Now, last week's episode, we kind of went through all the new the new features and the bugs and stuff that on last week's episode, so we probably don't want to beat that completely to death again. However, now that I want to look at template inheritance for a little bit, because now the template inheritance is now part of PHPBB, and it's now out in the wild, so to speak. Does this mean that the styles team is going to be having new policies or new things for how style authors can utilize template inheritance with their own styles?
Yuri, do you want to answer that one?
Sorry, I got called away for a second, so I did not actually hear the question.
Well, I was asking about, now that template inheritance is out in PHPBB, do we see any changes within styles team documentation or other things that are going to be coming out for how style authors can use template inheritance?
I think you definitely will. I don't know exactly what the styles team is doing as far as documentation is concerned. I would imagine that either their documentation will change or the community will come up with something. But the general process for creating a style now, I think, is different, and it's easier because you no longer have to put redundant information into styles that you release. Yeah. So if your template is identical to ProSilver's, for example, in all but five files, you really only need to provide those five files, and then when the user updates to the next version of PHPBB, they will automatically update both styles, except for those five files that they'll have to take care of. But it's better than having to do you know, 200 files. So definitely, and again, there's you no longer have redundant information, which is good. So, yep. So I think styles development will change drastically. This is not even the end of it either, because this was backported from 3.2 bits and pieces of it. So it was actually a lot more advanced.
98 files.
98 files. Well, there you go. That's still a lot.
More than PHP BB2 SubSilver had. That was only like in the 50s, I think.
Yeah. SubSilver 2 now has 97 items.
Wow.
Files.
So ProServer gives a bonus.
You could really tell how much bigger PHP BB3 is than PHP BB2 just based on the number of template files that are included with the software.
Oh, totally. And that doesn't even count the administrator file. Oh, that's not even part of it. Never mind. Sorry, that's PHP BB2.
I got to say, I spent quite a bit of time going through a bunch of, what are they called? CMSs, right? All kinds of open source CMSs, about every one I could find. And I was downloading them and looking at their code and everything like that. PHP 3, well, you know, I guess I might have a biased opinion too, but it has the best, or easiest, I should say, model view controller template system than any others I've seen.
Mm. Yeah.
So, of course, you know, you'd have to get Styler's opinion on it, people who have styled things like WordPress and Joomla and PHP 3 and have done all of them and really get their take on it. But in my opinion, it is the easiest to work with. You know, there are some that just don't have it at all, and then, of course, you have a lot of intermixed PHP with HTML, which, of course, we at PHPB avoid at all costs, right? Except for the trigger error, right? The trigger error is about the only thing that has hard-coded HTML in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so everything else is templated from the administration control panel, has its own template directory, to the actual styles, which are so easy to install in PHP 3. Now, Douglas,
that makes styles easy to port over to external things for PHP BB.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the administration control panel has 64 templates.
Yeah.
And a CSS file. It includes a CSS file.
Sure.
Now, another thing we talked about last week on template inheritance that's also going to be beneficial is if templates are using template inheritance, then for people who are installing mods, when they install mods for the main ProServer or SubServer 2 files, any templates that are inheriting those files will automatically get those changes as well, which makes life a lot easier for people who are installing mods.
So, well, you know, actually there's sort of – did I cut you off?
Go ahead.
Well, there's a good and a negative about that. I did bring this up at one point, not publicly, but there was at one point I mentioned is that if you don't want a certain style that you have to contain certain mod changes, like if you add a piece to the style that you don't want to exist everywhere else, you would not be able to do that. You would actually have to copy those files over, remove that template inheritance, and then you know, and so on. So. It does sort of force you to have everything in a static. So if you install a mod, it shows up everywhere. But I don't think that's a big problem. And
Most people who install mods, I think, would want them on all styles on the board.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That if assuming that anybody had a case like that, it would be extremely rare.
That might be a good knowledge base article, though. To be honest.
So, well, I mean, it's not difficult. You know, again, you just copy the files over and remove that inheritance. And
the files are already identical, so.
So, yeah, exactly. You just copy and paste. But, yeah, as David said, I would not expect issues with that. And it will be faster to install mods. You will no longer have to check files. And, again, I mean, we always said this, that you don't actually have to do this five or six different times if your template files are the same. But most people don't diff their template files to see if they're the same or if there's a difference or something like that. So they'll actually go and they'll install that mod in five identical files by copy and pasting 20 different instructions, where they could just do it once and then just move the entire file over. But again, I mean, most people are not that technical, and this sort of takes that out of their hands and says, well, look, you don't have to do it again. So,
I'm sure if for style authors to do this, probably makes life easier for the styles team too. Less files to go through for validation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's absolutely true because you know most styles for ProSilver, they are only adjusting a few files. You know, they're not, most of them are not even touching things like the moderator control panel and the user control panel. They're touching things like the index page. Sometimes the that's most common. Then you have
most styles, a lot of styles only look at the CSS. They might change the header a little bit, but most of it, they're changing the colors and the themes and some of the image sets. And one of the things PHP BB3 did in separating out the image sets, the CSS, and the template files itself means that you can interchange these a lot more easily than you could with PHP BB2, where everything was part of one template.
Right, exactly. And I think that's going to make it a lot easier for you know, obviously both style authors and the validators that have to validate those styles, because now they're, most styles, I imagine, are going to be changing overall header, maybe some overall footers. I imagine they do overall footers too, because they'll have the style copyright in there, and then maybe some index pages. But then it's like maybe view online, maybe a member list here or there. But for the most part, and nothing else would be changed unless they're really making a lot of changes. But really, if you're making a lot of design changes and you're working with ProSilver, they're all done through the CSS anyways.
Yeah.
You know, whereas SubSilver too, you know, if you're let's take what's that style called, like Submerge by Red Hair. Have you ever seen that one? Yeah, it looks like you're underwater.
I think so.
Yeah. So I
haven't, but yeah.
That's I think that's a good example of when they took SubSilver or SubSilver 2, because that was a style for PHP BB2 as well as PHP BB3, and they basically changed the entire look and feel of the site with, you know, and not just CSS files, but the templates as well. And
I think we've had it as a style of the week once before.
Yes, we have.
There we go. I see it. Okay. Familiar. Yeah, it looks kind of nice.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique style. It was actually one of the first styles we installed on Starchy Guy, but it didn't really fit, so we eventually uninstalled it.
Yeah. Well, it'll definitely be interesting to see whenever the new styles start taking advantage of this template inheritance, see how it works out, see how successful it is, and I'm sure the teams have tested it to make sure that it works good.
It's great that we're doing this in steps for style authors, because they're able to get the hang of this thing and see how to use it properly before we move to 3.2 at some point in the future. And by that point, this will just be the regular thing to do.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing to me how much harder it is to be a style author. Because when new versions of PHP BB come out, if they make any template changes, to the template or the style or anything like that, then the style authors have to all go and make that fix in their own styles as well to make sure that is added there in order for the style team to approve them.
Now that's not even really needed, because, you know, imagine most of your files, let's say you have to here's a good example, right? When the RC7, RC8s, I'm sorry. Yes, it was RC6, RC7 came out, and we had all those form tags, and they had to go through and add all these form tags, all these hidden tags to forms, and especially within the MCP and whatnot. So you had, as a style author, you had to go through and modify all those styles before you could re-release it. So it was a big deal if you didn't have that ready. And then there was some mist, I think, for between RC8 and 3.0. Things like that, and then so you had to go through and add those. Now, imagine if the template inheritance had been released back then, you wouldn't have had, hardly any style authors would have had to actually go in and modify those, because they would have just been inheriting the ProSilver.
Yeah. So, yeah, this helps make things a lot easier, but it's a very different world for us, for Dave and I, who come from a world of mod authors, where, you know, a PHP BB release might make a change, might affect your mod only if it's in certain places, maybe, perhaps, whereas styles, like any changes to the style, boom, that's a change you got to make. So hopefully this helps to improve that, but it's a very different kind of line of thinking.
Now, with mods, of course, with the update to 3.0.3, you'll see a lot of conflicts with a lot of mods. The reason being is that, you know, you'll find a mod, so it would be like, find this block of code, and this block of code is like 20 lines of code. That means if a 3.0.x update comes through that changes a single line of code in that block of 20 lines that you told people to find, they will no longer be able to find that block of code. So it can easily break compatibility with mods when mod authors make find blocks too large. Same thing mm-hmm. with doing replaces. You know, that's why you don't want to replace huge blocks of code. You don't want to add enormous blocks of code when you can simply insert a function there that can do the same thing. I have found very, very rarely do I ever have to add more than two lines of code or modify more than two lines of core code at a single time. And the reason is because you can just use a function, pass variables by reference, or whatever it might be to achieve the functionality that you're looking for. And that way, you're maximizing compatibility with future updates for 3.0.x, and you're maximizing compatibility with other mods that would be installed. So it's very important. I think people who have installed 120 mods are going to realize that very quickly, you're going to have a lot of conflicts with those mods that modified too much within the core code, that had too large of block finds, that sort of thing. There's going to be a lot of conflicts with them, and they're going to have to deal with it. But there are, I noticed, now this is a question for the support team, so it's for you, Yuri. I noticed that there's been a lot of questions regarding the automatic package updater. Recently, there was some late fixes for it, last-minute fixes, I should say, right after 3.0.3 was released, there were some issues. So what were those issues? What were people dealing with this release?
It wasn't the automatic updater package. It was the code changes package, which we did find had – it was not it was kind of unclear. There was one part of it that said find a line, and then it said find a blank line and replace with a blank line. So basically what the instruction was saying was find a blank line and replace it with a blank line. So someone must have tabbed or something like that. Or
deleted a tab. Yeah.
And so it picked it up, and when we were scanning it to remove any sort of those types of things, it was missed, and then it was released. And some people got confused, and they ended up removing the first part, which is weird because it goes completely out of what you were doing the whole other time when you were, when you were going up. So there are two finds. You're obviously concentrating on that second one, right, and not on that first one. But this was picked up fairly quickly, and, I mean, so we checked it, we zipped it up and put it back on. Now, there was a call that was made to just discontinue the code changes package altogether, and so I won't comment on that too much just yet. We're still working on sort of taking care of that.
No, really, and, people...
there was yep.
Sorry to interrupt you. Really, people shouldn't be using the code change packages. It should be an assistant for updating,
it
right?
It's overused by far. So people will take that code changes, and this comes back from PHP-AB2, where this was sort of the way to go.
Yeah.
People will take these code changes, and they'll sit there and they'll apply them for 5 hours or whatever crazy amount it takes you to do such a thing. And the problem is that people are not perfect, and there's something called user error. And even if I was doing it, when I used to update PHP-AB2, I would always apply these and then diff them against a core copy and look at everything that was different and made sure that it wasn't something that I missed or something that I made a mistake in, that it was actually mod code and that it was updated. And I actually found some vulnerabilities this way just by looking at code, and I was like, well, wait a minute. But most people don't do this, obviously, and so they sit there and they do these code changes where they shouldn't be doing it. It should be the automatic update package, and then any conflicts that you do actually come up with, you go back, you find those five files or one file, as the case may be, and then you open up the code changes package, you find the instructions for that one file, and you go back and you look it up. Now, what the dev team is saying is that basically when you find these five files, you can just diff yourself. Yeah. So you can just sit at home and you can diff and you can figure out what those changes were.
and figure it out yourself. But of course, not everyone can do that. So it's no problem for us, you know.
Yeah.
But for the general community, that's not going to work. So we have to figure something out.
The fact of the matter is, the automatic update package comes from the same DNA as EasyMod, which is for PHP-BB2. So it's not like it goes and replaces all your files. It tries to find individual sections of code, rewrite that code in there without affecting other parts of that affected file. So it really is supposed to be used instead of the code changes mod. By simply, it's like taking a code changes mod and running it through EasyMod.
It's merging.
So,
kind of. But the automatic updater is a lot more sophisticated.
Of course.
It actually, you know, doesn't do that. It doesn't quite do the whole find, replace with.
It's merging. Right. It's looking at the, you know, the differences of the files, and it's merging its changes in. It's mm-hmm. Like if you ever done an SVN merge, Douglas?
Yeah, like a CVS, but yes.
Okay, well, yeah, so somewhat similar. So it just goes through and it's going to merge in those changes that were made from 3.0.2 to 3.0.3. It's going to merge in those changes. So that's really the idea. And, of course, sometimes you're going to happen upon a conflicting block, and then it will ask you what you want to do. Do you want to, for the conflicting block, do you want to take changes from yours, or do you want to take changes from 3.0.3? Basically, so you get to make that choice for those conflicting blocks. But if there's non-conflicting blocks and it's just merging those changes in, it'll just merge them in. And I updated several boards, you know, during the 3.0 process, 3.0.3 to 3.0.1 to 3.0.2, you know, and I updated all these using the automatic updater, and it's quite simple. There's really no need for anybody to use the change package, and that's only provided there as an assistance. If you need it, you know. So I've merged some boards that have a lot of core changes to them, and really people installed some big mods and whatever, and it's really it does a pretty good job. You know, it's not perfect, but it does a pretty good job for what it's doing, and it only needs a little bit of human intervention, really.
So right, and I mean it's great because you. At the end, if it just gives you a list of the files, you can say, well, use new files and then go back and reapply the mods, for instance, if you still have all your mod files, which you should.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you don't have them, well, then you go back and you actually figure out what those code changes were and open up each file one at a time and apply those code changes. And that'll take you, you know, 30 minutes at most, whereas otherwise it would take you 5 or 6 hours and you'd make a lot more mistakes. So the code changes package was well overused. It was not intended to just be an entire package on its own. So, and this is something that we're considering. So this is something that's going into the thinking of how to fix this, how to change it so that it's useful and at the same time people use it in the manner that it was intended to be used.
Like Mike talked about at London Vision, he said one of the things that want to be changed in 3.2 or one of the things that want to be improved upon is the ability to trying to eliminate a lot of user error. Try and make it idiot-proof almost, you know, as much as possible. You can't make something completely idiot-proof, but you can pretty much go a long ways in doing that. Of course, every time you try and make something idiot-proof, a lot of times you can take away control from the user. But so then you have to kind of decide, well, you know, do I take away control from the user or do I make it more idiot-proof?
You know, and this is something that we were talking about, if you remember, with roles, with permission roles. I don't want to stray off too much, but this was definitely mentioned during London Vision. There was a whole discussion about it where people don't use roles, whereas roles were actually intended to be the thing that's mostly used. So that was the whole point of having it there, was that people would use it. And a lot of people are jumping straight to user permissions or private permissions, and then they're coming back on the support forum and they're saying, oh, this is so complicated. It's taking me forever to, you know, to click 50 different users and set up these advanced permissions for every single one of them, and then go back and figure out that you made a mistake on two of them.
Yeah.
Where you could accomplish this with roles very painlessly. All you have to do is just select the role from the drop-down menu. So this is one of the things that was sort of discussed, was how to make roles more there. So the first thing that you see that's, you know, to stress that this is what you should be using.
Right, and that user-based permissions are de-emphasized, because really, or like on Starter Guide, we have a lot of forums. We have, I'd have to say like 100 and something forums A lot of them are hidden, of course, but and a lot of these boards, I manage a board that has, I think, over 200 forums. And, I'm like, that's a little crazy. But the thing is, can you imagine assigning them individual permissions? I can't imagine doing that without rules. And a lot of people do that, and they come back and like, yeah, it's so frustrating. It takes so much time to do the permissions, and, they go through all this stuff. It's like, you have 40 moderators, and you're assigning them individual permissions. You just should stick them in a moderator group, you know? So that sort of thing, there's some things that obviously you can do that will make it more idiot-proof while, without taking away control from the user, from the administrator at least, and, will improve that sort of thing.
You two have gotten way off topic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you got to conversion rules. We're talking about 3.0.3. So, David, this is why we have long episodes, Mr. I want to have short episodes. See,
yeah, this is why I don't come up with topics like a week before that.
Yeah. Well, in either case,
you could have put
how you do your permissions. Update to 3.0.3. Use the automatic update package. There's a lot of great stuff in there. Some new features. We talked about last week with the queue, with the moderator queue, and all that. And I want to be able to move on because we have a lot of other topics to talk about today, and we've already gone 30 minutes. But go get the automatic update package. Update to 3.0.3. Stay up to date, and it's a great job on the part of the development team with some of these things that they have been doing here. So, yeah.
Nice release.
Yuri wanted to come on, so we could, and we wanted to chat with him about his, I don't know how much to say about this, but his new promotion to support team leader. So I'm not sure.
Let's congratulate Yuri. Yuri, that
congratulations!
Big congratulations to be a support team leader for the support team. That's big step. Great to have you as a leader now. So yeah, I think it's a position well deserved. And of course, we thank Neothermic for all the work that he's done for PHP.
Yeah, we talked about Neothermic last week. So let's talk about Yuri.
So Yuri.
Yeah.
What are some of the changes that you're thinking of making? What are some of the changes you're thinking of making?
We are not partisan, nonpartisan on the support team. So in fact, we get into fights all the time. as far as changes are concerned, it's difficult to say right from the very get go. One of the things that we will be focusing on right now is documentation. So the user guide for 3.0 was never finished, and a good chunk of it is there, and most of the important things are there. But I find when I want to link to something in a support request, I'm linking to just a blank page or a blank section where it pretty much just sort of, this is where it should be. So that's not how it should be. And with 3.2, imminent, we do need to catch up on documentation so that we can go ahead and we can start focusing on 3.2 documentation. Otherwise, we'll end up either just jumping over stuff or, not even getting to things. So that's the big thing. There'll be a few tweaks here and there. I'm trying not to go too fast just to make sure that everyone is not left behind. And, as far as the community is concerned, I think the goal, as with all the other teams, is to get more involvement from the community, even if they're not on the team. So potentially we could have them help out with things like documentation. And again, that's not going to happen right now because it's just far too early to start organizing everything before we're walking. But community involvement is something that is great in open source software, and we need to be getting into that even more, and allowing, as you guys did with the junior mod validators, and so we definitely need to be doing things like that. And for support, that's very easy. You can just help out in the support forum, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you can write knowledge base articles, and such. So, but in a slightly more official capacity, we definitely could use work in places like documentation and allow knowledgeable users of the community to help out. So that's about it. I mean, hopefully, you know, I'll do a good job, and a year down the line, you'll be saying, you know, what a great job he did.
<It's> like he did. That sounds past tense. We don't want to be. What a great job Yuri is doing.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that you're going to retire in a year, just like me, like Ashley did?
I really hope I don't. You know, I'm hoping to stay in for the long run, but you know, everyone always says that, and things come up. So I won't promise anything, but I hope to be here for at least the next 150 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Wow.
Hey, that's wow. good.
He's going to be here till the release of PHP 100. Or 850, yeah. Something like that.
Yuri, I got to ask you, if you were independently wealthy, what would you do?
Okay, what?
No,
I would continue with PHPB. There's not a doubt in my mind that I would. So I would pretty much be doing exactly what I'm doing now, except with less problems.
He would personally pay for all of the support team members to have a tropical vacation in order to relieve their ongoing stress from dealing with some of the idiots that you see in the support forum.
You know, you could be absolutely positive that if I was to become suddenly rich, you know, with the lottery or something like that, you could be absolutely positive that there will be a vacation for PHPB team members on the list. So.
What about PHPB podcasters?
Well,
you could come,
yeah.
But yeah,
I could be your servant. As I said,
there will be a small private island on the side.
Okay, well, you know, it's because W.G. Eric said that the team leaders get HDTVs and cool cars. What do you say, cool cars? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and a company Amex card.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Company Amex card. All right. So, can you comment, Yuri, on some of the changes? By the way, that was a joke from W.G. Eric for people who are actually thinking that I was serious. That was a joke. Yuri, can you comment on some of the recent changes within PHPBB itself, such as, you know, W.G. Eric becoming operations manager, promoting Chris RLG to the business manager, that sort of thing. Can you comment on these sort of changes and the posts that W.G. Eric made in the announcements forum?
Sure. It's pretty much just wide open for everyone to see. It's pretty clear. We just haven't been saying anything that's not sure yet, because then people, of course, go back and they say, well, you said you were going to do this and you ended up doing this. You know, what's up? It shows instability. So we don't comment on things that we're ourselves not entirely sure about. But everything is heading into the direction of more stability. So if you take a look at companies like Mozilla and all of these, they all have trademarks. They all have companies set up. They all have a structure. And PHPB is no small project. You know, we've grown exponentially, I would say, since 2001. And, you know, everything needs to be headed toward more stability. So as our requirements increase as far as management, it makes sense to change the structure to accommodate those changes. So W.G. Eric, for example, will now be taking care of some of these holes that were left and that were never actually done, never taken care of. There was this, after John left, everyone, of course, as is common with open source projects, everyone blended in and they took those responsibilities on. And, you know, we're still here and we're doing fine. There's no problem. And we always manage to compensate when someone leaves. But there was sort of these gaps in between teams. So now we all can focus on our own teams, whereas Eric will be able to fill in those gaps and make sure that things are running smoothly. As far as Chris, that's also self-explanatory. You know, we're a company and for all intents and purposes, and so we do need someone to take care of business, and he has great experience, so he is the reasonable person to take care of this, and so he volunteered. Well, he accepted, I should say, and that's, you know, so it makes sense. And Igor stepped up as the logical choice again from the mod team, and this was decided due to his great ideas. So he presented some very terrific ideas for the mod team, and it was so decided that he should lead it.
I'm looking forward to see what they are. I'm sure David already knows what they are, but I'm really excited to see what they are.
Yeah, there's obviously, you know, one of the major goals of the mod team right now is moving toward more user involvement, more user contributions to modding, the modding community just getting more involved with the mod team and whatnot. And, you know, obviously one of those steps was taken with the junior validators, and we want to move more in that direction. Obviously, we talked about this actually quite a lot in, 2 weeks ago when we had WG Eric on the show, so I don't really want to go too much into detail on it, but I know, we've been talking with Igor. I have been talking with Igor a lot recently, and he does have some fantastic ideas, and some of the directions we want to move with the mod team is really good, but mainly, like I said, just one of the really big goals, one of the main goals is just a lot more user contributions. More user involvement from the mod community. One of the other things that I'd like to see, and I'm not sure that this can be done by just, it's like, hey, let's do this, decide to do it, and it happens. I don't think it can be done that way. One of the things I'd like to see is more of a professional development community within the mod community. And what I mean by that is, like, there's a lot of, you look at Joomla. Joomla has a very large development-based community. You have a lot of professionals who are working with Joomla. And the reason for that is that, you have site administrators, developers who are building sites that, contribute back to Joomla that way. And that's why they have such a huge community that way. Now, PHPBB is more of like, hey, let's, you've got your friends down the road who has a clan for WoW or whatever it might be. And he decides to start a little forum or people start a free forums. It's the most popular bulletin board because you have a lot of free forms. It's easy to install anywhere on anything, pretty much, So, somebody, your neighbor says, I want to start a form, and they start a form. Okay, that's not a professional. And so, you have some of these people who do modding for, as a hobby, and obviously it started out that way for a lot of us, and that's great. It's a really good thing to see, but we do want to also see a much larger volume of actual developers start contributing as mod authors, and more people getting involved in mod development. But I think the first step comes with realizing that PHPBB3 is a great framework to work with to develop sites around and develop third-party applications and whatnot. So that's probably one of the other goals I like to see with the mod team, but I'm not sure it's a decision you can just go, let's make that happen, and it's going to happen, I don't think. But it's a nice goal to have. So, and I think Igor feels that way as well, so we'll be heading more in that direction as well.
Yeah, you dropped out quite a bit during there. I don't know if that was just me or not, but so there were portions of that that I sort of had to make out. But I think I got the general. We got the general gist, I think. So, but the issue with packet dropping, I think, is still among us.
It's only with David.
Fortunately,
fine and clear.
Yeah. Did you hear me okay, Douglas? Because I did record that, so I can send you the.
You recorded it. Yeah, you may be recording it. But it's something with you because I'm not getting it from Yuri at all.
Huh.
As long as you have it, well, I think it's fine. I mean, the listeners here live can make things out, I'm sure. So
yeah, I think we can make it out.
Yeah,
we
read between the lines.
I understand what David.
I'll send it to you so you can have it.
I just don't know.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to mention real quick though before we move on to the next topic. There is some FAQ topics on some of the mod forums and the PHPB. I think it's on the PHP discussion forum, where basically the mod team wants to gather some questions from the community, and we will answer those and put it in a blog post. So I think there's a couple of sticky topics. One in, I think, mod writers. I have to double check again, but there's a topic in a couple of different places. So if you have a question for the mod team that you'd like us to answer, one that's just been eating you.
I did it.
Go to that topic and you can ask that question, and if we think it's a good question, we'll answer it into a blog post. And if not, then we'll just probably answer it in the topic. So just wanted to bring that to your attention. It's up to you, Douglas.
All right. Well, it's probably going to be a long episode at this point. We're going to talk a little bit. We've been doing a couple of segments every so often on our series of building a successful community. And today we're going to talk probably not too long since we've already been on the show for a while, but talk a bit about recruiting and maintaining quality staff members for your board. If you're just starting out, maybe you think you're by yourself and you're going to be able to get your board going. But eventually, if you really want to have a lasting board, you want to be able to get staff members to help out on your board, maybe other administrators or moderators, things like that. We're going to talk a bit about this, and I know, and David has a lot of experience with this on Star Trek Guide. You've got a whole bunch of different groups doing different things on Star Trek Guide, and so you can share some of your experiences. If anyone in the chat room runs boards and has any experiences running with staff members, share your experiences. I'm not sure if Yuri's done any of this.
Oh yes.
Yes. Yeah. So we're gonna talk a little bit about how this works. I'm gonna ask David to sort of start us off.
All right. Well, basically, the biggest thing is that you want a good staff. You don't want to run boards all by yourself, especially when they start getting busy. It can be very difficult. You want a staff in place that can deal with issues while you're not there, because it could come up. You could have a spammer all of a sudden. It's like if you're the only administrator, they have to all wake until you get up or get home from work and go to your board to see what's going on in there and go deal with that. So you need staff. It's really important, especially if your board is getting busy. If you just have a small board, that's fine. If you're the only staff member or you just have a couple of staff members, that's fine too. But the most important thing when choosing staff members is that you want to choose people who are, obviously it's going to be probably moderators for the most part. Most boards are probably going to be choosing moderators. And you want to pick people who are going to be honest, who are going to deal with moderation very well, who have a level head dealing with difficult situations or situations where, there's a lot of conflict or heated discussions and that sort of thing. So you want to choose someone who has a really level head, but you also want to choose someone who has a high activity level on your board. You don't want to choose somebody who has a couple of posts because they're not really displaying a lot of activity on your board. You'll get a lot of people who are like, hey, can I be a staff member? How do I get a higher rank on this board and whatnot? It's like, well, you don't feel sorry for them. Oh, I feel sorry for you, so I'm going to make you a staff member or whatever it might be. Or, yeah, because you asked, I'll make you a staff member. No, that's you don't want to do that sort of thing. You want to pick somebody who is active, who has displayed a very good competence level in dealing with other users, who does not get into really heated arguments with people all the time. Obviously you'll have a debate here or there, but you want somebody with a level head, and so that's important when choosing somebody for a general moderator team position on your board.
Yeah, similar in a way to we're looking at right now with the President-elect Obama is looking at his transition team, looking at who his cabinet's going to be, picking people. And it's a lot like, it's not like everyone who asks automatically gets to do something. It's where he's looking and figuring out, who would be the best person to do this, who would be the best person to do that, just based on experiences they have from seeing what you do best. And so as the administrator of your board, if you're finding good staff members, do this mostly based on who has been an active and a good participant in your community so far.
Yeah. And Yuri, what are some of the things that the support team looks for when they are getting new support team members?
I think we're lucky because we actually can look at what people are doing in the support forum, specifically answering questions, and based on that, we can invite them to the team. So we are monitoring them and doing exactly what it is that they would be doing as team members. Apart from other things, of course. I mean, the support forum is, not the only thing that the support team does, but it is one of the big things. So, and we can monitor users' knowledge of PHPV based on the answers to their questions. You can also figure out from posts things like how good their English is, or if they're swallowing letters along the way, as was said, if they're typing like letters are costing them money, then that's probably not.
I like that they act like the bulletin board is a big text messaging system. It's like hello, you're not letters aren't costing you money. You're not limited to 200 characters. Get your words out.
Yeah, right. And of course, team members do need to show a certain eloquence when they're typing. So if they're not, if they're being rash and This gets difficult with team members whose first language was not English. In fact, my first language was definitely not English. English is my third language.
I would not have known, by the way.
Oh, great. Well, perfect. So one of the things is that sometimes people come off as sounding aggressive, where they don't intend that to be the case at all. Maybe they're trying to be extra nice, and they come off as being somewhat aggressive, and this happens sometimes. So we do, you know, there's a vetting process, and we make sure that people are willing to, are able and willing to do the work and do it in a way that they represent PHPUB well. Because, again, every team member, you know, whether they like it or not, does represent PHPUB, and people will judge us based on the performance of everyone and anyone. So,
and that really goes the same with any board, really. Your board, you have moderators, staff members, they're all going to represent your board. So that's why you want to choose good people for those positions, and people who are going to really they're going to represent your board well, and that's what we do at Star Trek Guide as well. And not just at moderator positions, but when we're choosing a style team member or a development team member, we're going to be choosing somebody who is going to represent the board well. But also, you know, we may choose somebody who doesn't really have that many posts, but we've been discussing with them in private a lot, and, you know, so we know them somewhat well. And, you know, that's important, too. You don't want to get a completely unknown to a staff member position. And it's also what we look for as for mod team members. You know, we don't pull people in there who have literally no activity or very little activity. We want to have a good amount of activity. We know them pretty well. It's, you know, having a good amount of activity is not the only thing either. We want to be able to communicate with them and understand who they are before we actually promote them to a sensitive position. So that's another important thing.
Now, yeah, as David said, it's critical that the person who is being invited to the team is actually able to participate within that team and has necessary skills to do it. But even after you found a person who is technically capable of doing and assisting, they need to be the right kind of individual to be able to work within the team and to be willing to work within the team. Not to be, you know, very aggressive or and sort of to negotiate, be diplomatic, nice to others, and especially people who are below him in the sense that, you know, not on the team. So, you know, after we find people who are technically capable, there's a whole other aspect to choosing.
Yeah.
Members. Yeah. Go ahead.
Now, for Star Trek Guide and PHPV.com are probably unique in the sheer number of different teams you guys have. We all know all the teams that PHPBB.com has, even have some hidden teams within. Star Trek Guide has, in addition to a moderator team, you also have the development team, a sales team, and whatever the heck you call Section 31. but nevertheless, I counted while you guys were talking, and on Star Trek Guide, you got 32 team members. How do you keep them working together in a good, coherent group, representing your community, your board? You know, how do you guys work on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I think, especially when you have team members, staff members, and whatnot on your board, one of the most important things is to have a private forum where they can all communicate with each other. Because if it's just public forum, there's not really a good way for you to communicate private issues or issues with members or whatever it might be. So it's really important that you do have a private forum that you can communicate with your staff team members and that sort of thing. As far as, you know, ensuring that they work together, one of the things that we've done with Start to Guide is we actually have an IRC channel that helps with our development. So, you know, a lot of times the development is not just, you know, I want to put a post on here because I have an idea or something I think needs to change. They can just jump on there and ask us. So that's one way that we've kind of kept participation with all of our staff members. Obviously, not every single one of our staff members is there because of their activity levels or their participation, but they may be there for certain reasons within the board. Like, for example, Techie Michael, we want him on the development team on Star Trek Guide. This was after discussing some of our ideas with him. You know, obviously, I know Techie Michael, so, you know, I didn't feel uncomfortable with putting him in that position at all, but he has a lot of good ideas and wanted to see some of the code we have been working on and, you know, wanted to be able to contribute ideas as well. So that's why we have him in that position. Although he's not an actual contributor, that's why I have him there. He's an important individual. That's why he's there. But a lot of the moderators, it's more important that they are contributing in a point of, you know, making sure that the board doesn't contain spam. And, you know, they're taking care of banning people, of sending warnings, of reminding people about rule violations, that sort of thing. So I don't have to take care of that. Francis doesn't have to take care of that. The only things that we have to take care of are when, you know, they need an avatar or signature removed or that sort of thing. But the moderators take care of moderation, and it's great because it would, you know, they can handle that. We can just kind of forget about it, and that's great. They're already active participants before they became moderators. You know, we didn't choose people who weren't active or who were only there once a week. We chose people who were there every day or every other day at least, and who were very active in the forums and you know, reporting posts was a great way for us to see who would make good moderators. So some of our members who like to go through and reporting posts, this is breaking this rule or this is spam or whatever, and notifying us that way. It was a great way to see who could make a good moderator in addition to the other usual methods of determining that. But as far as, you know, just making them work together or keeping everybody contributing evenly and working together, it's just having a private forum and communication is open. If they ever have a problem, they feel like they can come and talk to us privately or within the boards. And you know, we're always there. We feel like a family. That's really important too. And the same thing with the PHPBB team members and a couple other boards that I'm administrator over. The staff members, they feel like a family, and that's really important too, this family. Remember, there's no friction in between team members. Everybody gets along great. Obviously, you're going to have a problem here or there. That happens with any team. That happens on the PHPBB teams. That happens on the Star Trek Guide teams. And it's how you deal with those problems that'll make you either stronger or weaker as a team. And, you know, if you deal with the problem very well, it can make you a much, much stronger team. And I think that's what has happened quite a bit. And so the team has bonded really well that way.
Now, what happens when you have issues within your teams or if you've had, like, uncooperative or bad team members? Maybe Yuri might have some experience with this as well. How sure. How do you deal with team members that, like, you pick and all of a sudden it's like, whoops, bad choice?
You know, most of us have been very lucky in the past. We haven't really had too many. I mean, you know, there have always been clashes, and some people have left on less than perfect terms. But generally speaking, I think we get along quite nicely. But if there is a conflict of any kind, that needs to be resolved quickly because it doesn't add to the general project. And I mean, our general goal is to make PHPB better. So conflicts do not make PHPB better. Thus, conflicts need to be resolved.
What's the best way to resolve them?
Well, you talk it out. You start with talking, and you figure out what the problem is. If it's between two team members, then obviously you get them to communicate between each other, or have some sort of moderator between the two. Usually, that would be a team leader, or maybe both team leaders from each team. If conflicts go through team leaders, so if there is a problem between teams, then the team leaders would talk that out, and then they would go back and they would speak to their team, and then, you know, back and forth and figure out what it is that needs changing and what it is that needs fixing. As David said, we're all pretty much friends at this point, so any conflicts that do come up, they're usually very small, and we can solve them. We do solve them. It just comes naturally. You know, we make a topic, we figure it out, we make the necessary changes, and things just keep going along on their very, very merry way.
Yes, I want to comment on that too, as far as, you know, accidentally picking a bad spam member, like, whoops. Well, I think usually in those situations, it's always been where you made a little hasty decision, or you made a decision where you weren't completely sure about, and Those can sometimes turn out bad. Those can sometimes turn out good. But the decisions where you really took your time and really ensured the person was good for the position, those very rarely turn bad. But as far as, you know, what do you do when you get somebody who's like, whoops, they're not good for that position? Well, you know, it depends. It really depends on the situation. You can't say, well, I'm just going to deal all situations. I'm going to deal with it this way. It can't happen that way. You have to kind of flow with it and try and deal with it in the best of your ability, but with a level head, so that you know, you're trying to make it better for everybody, but you can't, you know, if somebody's not doing well in a certain position, you got to remove them. You know, you can't just be like, oh, I don't want to offend them, so I don't want to remove them. No, I just, you know what, they're not doing well there, I got to remove them and, you know, talk to them or whatever.
Absolutely.
Some of the things that you can do, a lot of people are understanding too. So if you're like, hey, you know, is this not working out for you and whatever, so you can kind of agree to like, all right, yeah, let's go ahead and have you resign from that position, and they can do that and everybody's happy, and you know, nobody's, you're not hurting anybody's feelings that way. And if you can try and work it out that way, that's always better. Sometimes you can't always do that. Sometimes you have a real angry member who's bitter or whatever, and they'll, you know, there's a lot of times you can't make that situation better a lot of times, but you still got to remove them.
I agree completely. The whoever's in charge, so on PHP.com, it would be the team leader of that team, or you know, the other team leaders might also get involved and say, well, you know, this person is not doing the job that he was sort of, that we were hoping he would end up doing. But it's definitely important to always keep that option in mind. And if the person is unresponsive or unwilling to work and continues just doing the same thing over and over again, despite people having told him that this is, or her, that this is not working out, then the next step would be to say, well, you know, what do we need to do to fix this? And if that means removing that person, asking them to step down or step aside or maybe switch to another team, if that's possible, if they're not particularly interested in working on a specific team and then they would rather do something else, then whatever has to happen, down to, you know, of course, them resigning completely and leaving. So whatever needs to be done. So, yeah.
Yeah, you have to look for the best interests of the board and your community. You know, those always have to be kept in mind. And for PHPB, it's for the project, as well as the community and the board.
I mean, those decisions should not be taken lightly. You know, it shouldn't be like, oh, you made a mistake, you know, now you're going to get kicked off. It should be a lot. It should take a lot more than that.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Really have. So, yeah.
Well, mistakes are always going to happen. People should expect that mistakes are going to happen. You know, you can't just be like, oh, you know, you made a bad decision here, you're off the team. No, that you don't really want to work that way. You want to work it in such a way where it's like, okay, that you made a mistake, but that's okay, we can work through it, let's deal with the situation. Sometimes, you know, it's been like, hey guys, you know, this wasn't handled correctly, but we're not kicking anybody off the team for this. We just need to handle things better, and here's some tips on how to do that. You know, so certainly having somebody resign from the team is a lot of times the last resort. Sometimes you're forced to do it, you know. So it just it depends on the situation.
Now, I probably have like information within your like private teams area, things for like, you know, team members to know what to do in certain situations, or other things to know, so like your team members are kind of aware of what to, how to do their job properly or deal with certain users, things like that.
Yep, that's up to each team to do in the way that they see fit. Of course, every team does have a certain set of either guidelines or information, just something to tell team members what it is that they should be doing. This usually is not dictated down from above. The teams usually either these have been there for a while and are just updated as necessary, or the entire team gets together and writes or whatever is necessary to make sure that everyone is on the same level. And these things usually only show up after there's a problem. So,
yeah.
You know, you don't have to specify, you know, use a spell checker unless there's a person who really is not doing that and it becomes a problem. And then you would put that into the guidelines or whatever you have and say, you know, everyone is responsible for using a spell checker.
Even then, it's a good idea to have some kind of information for your teams beyond that of the rules. For example, if someone's violating a certain rule, what's the proper way of going about punishing them? You just let them know on an email or issue official warning, or what exactly you do for certain things.
Yeah, on the Mod team, we call these policies. And, you know, they're, you know, it's like, what do we do? What's our policy for this type of situation? And a lot of times you won't have a policy for a particular situation until that situation can happen. So, like, something comes up, then you add a new policy for it. Okay, let's make a decision on this. This is how we're going to handle this in the future so that we're consistent. And so we've got, you know, we can push these policies as a document or a topic on our private forum so that we can reference it later and when the situation might come up again.
So, yeah, that's pretty much the same thing with the support team. We know how we're going to deal with certain cases. Now, as far as moderation is concerned, anything, you know, anything having to do there, the moderator team takes care of that, and they have a set of their own policies that they use to make sure that everyone is fair and consistent. I think, and in fact, going back to finding new team members, I think the moderator team have it the hardest because they really need people who have very good character and who are friendly and willing and have a very, very long temper. we don't really take care of that.
Some users are idiots. Let's just face it. Most of you guys are, but some of them users are idiots and put a lot of patience sometimes.
They are, you know, and venting is important. In fact, you know, my site, the motto is everyone needs to vent. So venting in private is perfectly okay. And if you don't do that, then it'll end up.
Another good use for private teams forums, right?
it is. You know, it has to be because, again, as you said, there are some users who are just idiots and some who just come on specifically to make trouble.
Uh-huh.
And people who have to deal with them at some point do need to vent. And, you know, everyone has their own coping strategies. So some people have a punching bag that they hit at home. You know, they go work out, something like that. So this isn't just on the forum by any means. You know, work and everything else. So any sort of stress, you do have to let it out somewhere. That's another great reason to have private forums is to be able to discuss and have other people agree, you know, and say, well, yeah, that wasn't your fault. You know, that was the user just sort of making a fuss and didn't do anything wrong.
So, Yuri, what do you do when users are driving you nuts, when you're having like, oh, that it's just punch my computer screen? What do you do to relieve stress?
You know, I hit my neighbors.
You hit your neighbors,
like
okay.
Me.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't.
So,
I have a cat that I
keep
pet.
Talking. I want to go, but I need to relieve stress. Keep talking.
My neighbors are not friendly people. They like to smoke and drop their cigarette butts in front of my house. So,
okay.
I used to relieve stress.
You have a very violent way of relieving stress.
I have one of these things. That's what I use to relieve stress, my easy button.
That was easy.
I watch politics. I turn on CNN or Fox. Fox really, you know, lets it out.
Come on.
And then I yell at the TV.
Those stations, those cause more stress than really relief.
I agree.
I get to yell at the screen, so.
You know, there are things, and this probably happens in almost every forum. There are cases where you would deal with users so crazy.
I call those stupid user days.
Sometimes a team member communicating with another user over a disagreement through a private messages. And that's one of the cases that times where, you know, it's like you just have – it's like you're having so much fun with how – it's laughable how stupid the user you're dealing with is sometimes. And this comes – it's like a team-wide joke. You know, I'm sure you guys in the PHP teams have had this. I've had to deal with it before. You're dealing with a user who's just – you're going back and forth. And you're like – you're trying to lay it on the law and they keep talking back and you keep going back and forth. In some ways, it's almost fun until it gets tiring.
Yeah, I call those stupid user days.
Sometimes you just come in,
it's like everybody who's replying to your topics is just being stupid. And they're like, oh, come on. You know, you're going to reply to some of these. And after a while, it's just like, it's not getting any better. They're not getting any brighter. It's just getting stupider. So I'm just going to leave for a while.
It's just like a team member who's dealing with it, pace just keeps it going. Then it got us to the private forum so everyone can look at it and get a great laugh at how dumb somebody is. It's evil, I know, but it happens, okay?
So, yeah, it does happen, of course. But again, that's why this is why it's important to have the right types of people. You know, you can't just tell someone to shut up.
Yeah.
You have to be a little more diplomatic and understand, you know, not take things personally. That's the big thing that I always say to people. Don't take things personally.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell people to shut up.
So it's difficult sometimes to not take things personally, especially when the person saying it is, you know, means it in a way that is personal.
Yeah.
But we have a great moderator team, and they do a great job, and they are you know, they're tempered. They know what they're doing, and they've been doing it for a very long time, so they don't get offended as quickly as everyone else, I think, does. So, which is why we allow them to take care of such things. Anywhere where there's obviously going to be conflict, we ask the moderators to take care of it. So, and they do a great job, as you might have seen.
And that brings up another important point. If you have a staff, be sure to regularly thank your staff members, because especially for those moderator teams, it's a very thankless job.
Support,
they're volunteering
is too.
Time to do for you. So thank them.
So thank everyone, basically. Just every time you say thank you, it's always nice to everyone. So I would say do it more often than you do it now, even if you do it more often than you think you should.
Yeah.
I'm sure people are wondering, PHPBB teams and Star Trek Guide has a lot of different teams, a lot of different team members. What really is, for a normal, average, everyday forum that isn't quite as expansive as you got, as yours, you know, PHPBB.com is huge. David talked about Star Trek Guide has almost 200 different forums on it.
100, not 200.
What's a better sized forum, sized team to have for a real board? Like, how many does a person really need to have?
Well,
I would say greatly.
As few as possible, but as many as needed. Okay, for as far as the number of forums.
That's a good
go,
rule.
As few as possible, but as many as needed.
Okay, team members.
Team members?
That's still a good rule.
That's also a good rule, yeah. Yeah, it's forums or moderators. As few as possible, as many as needed. Really, you want to get as many team members as you need to deal with situations while you're not there, or be able to deal with situations in other timelines. Like on PHPBB.com, obviously, we have people from all around the world, from Australia, New Zealand, to Europe. We have some in Hong Kong, obviously. Well, not Hong Kong necessarily, but I mean the Asias and the U.S. and places like that. So when somebody's online on, say, the U.S., somebody else is asleep in Australia, and you can deal with the situation at that particular time zone. So it kind of helps to have people who are around the world. If you are a more local-based forum, obviously that's not really an issue. You're not going to be as internationalized as, say, PHPBB is or even Star Trek Guide is. For that, obviously you want enough team members who are going so that you'll have people there pretty often during the day. But of course, it depends on how active your board is. If you've got a really active board, you want more people active throughout the day as team members. If you have a pretty inactive board, it's not so necessary. That's obviously something that only a couple people need to be able to deal with situations, and so it's not always necessary to have everybody online all the time, every day. So
it also probably depends a lot on how active you are too. If you're going to be active like on there 6 hours a day, that's every single day of your life. That's going to be different from a case when you can maybe pop on a few hours a week whenever you have time. You have a lot of other things to do, because really all staff is to be able to help you manage the forum when you're not there. Because you can't be like the god of your forum. You can't be like there any time. Whenever you want to be.
Right, but at the same time, you can't. The most important, it's actually more important for you to be there more often than not. If you're there 6 hours a day, it's much, much better than if you're there for 20 minutes a day.
Yeah, that's true. But, everyone has time and stuff that they do.
Of course, but I'm just saying, it's, want to avoid your board. To have a successful community, you've got to be there for your members. If
of
you're
course.
An administrator. Okay. So
for me, for example, on PHPBB.com, it's always the first thing I do when I wake up and the last thing I do before I get to bed. So in the morning, I wake up, my alarm rings, my laptop is right next to me. And that's assuming I didn't fall asleep at the desk. And
like this morning.
but like this morning, exactly. And then that's the first thing I do before I get up, before I get dressed or anything else. I check out, make sure that nothing has gone wrong, that everything is cool. And I check out my PMs, which usually there are a dozen of or so, and IRC. I make sure that no one has been trying to contact me for those 5 or 6 hours that I've been asleep at most. And then I go about my day, and any time that I have breaks within my day, I will jump on. And sometimes it'll be for 5 minutes, sometimes it'll be for a few hours. If I'm in class, my laptop is usually in front of me, and if anyone tries to contact me, I can always answer right there. You know, on when I'm driving, obviously I did have an AT&T wireless card at one point, and I'd just be driving, and I'd have my laptop on the side, and I'd, you know, so it would beep. The screen wouldn't be open, but I would know when someone had been trying to contact me.
Wait a minute, Yuri. First say that you listen to PHP weekly while you drive. Now you're saying you check on your laptop while you drive. I am not getting on the same highway as you.
You know, this multitasking is a big thing.
This is why people in New York are such bad drivers.
No, I don't take my eyes off the road. So as I said, the laptop is closed, and at most I hear it beep.
That's
so
good.
And I know to expect something when I stop.
So you use phpbb.com with your ears, not your eyes. Okay.
Yeah, this is good advice for drivers here. When you have wireless cards and you plug them in your computer and you put your computer in your seat next to you, don't have it open. Just have the sound on. Really, I have wireless card too. There's only been really one time that I actually put it on a seat next to me while I was driving, and I would stop at I'd park at the side of the road and need to access something or whatever for some urgent thing. I can't remember what it was, but anyway, there was only one occasion where I actually did that. But I'm like Yuri. The very first thing that I do after I get up, before I start work, I start up my computer, and the very first thing I do is log on to phpbb.com to see if there's any pressing needs, private messages, anything in the private forums that I need to take care of before I actually start working. But a lot of the work that I do is very phpbb based. A lot of my clients are based around phpbb. There's some involvement with them with phpbb. Even my the company that I have ownership in, we built the framework off of PHPBB, so it's a very big part of my life, not only my private life, but also work life. So, I know a lot of people, it's a hobby. For me, it's both a hobby and a job, but not necessarily working for PHPBB.com directly, but working as a PHPBB community member.
Again, don't get me wrong. I worked in a trauma center for a number of years. So never do anything like use your laptop or SMS while you're driving. So that's an I do try to multitask as much as possible. As I told you yesterday, I do listen to PHP. Well, I have been for a few Mondays when I'm driving on Monday. I have about 50 minutes, so I usually listen to PHP weekly, and then I've been cutting it off as soon as you guys have been starting to talk about the elections.
We're done with that. That's okay.
Yeah, thank God.
Yes, I'm happy about that too.
That was fun. That was fun.
Sure it was.
Okay.
I don't really believe you. Hey, we did have some times where it was kind of like, oh man, that could this drag any more than it is?
It was going around in circles. I felt as though at time it was funny for the first time I heard it. I thought, that's really kind of. But after that, it was just getting tedious. I thought, you guys were milking it. So, but hey, whatever works. I saw that the community was enjoying it. So by all means,
it's all the only reason they enjoyed it was because of Scoff. And then Candyman.
I'm no reason. Let's put it this way. I am no reason not to do something. So, just because I don't like it doesn't mean you don't have to do it. But okay. I like the fact that you were always doing it at the end, so I could just turn it off and,
You don't know that. All right. Yes. Because Yuri doesn't like something doesn't mean you have to follow his advice. It means it doesn't have to,
nope,
just
absolutely.
Like not following the rules. It doesn't mean you have to not follow them. just kidding.
Absolutely. I will ban you, though, so.
Yeah, you're fantastic.
That's hey, I have been banned from phpbb.com twice.
I'm good.
All in good fun.
I had to become a team member before I could get banned, though. True. It's absolutely true. Hey, don't make Neothermic a board. Don't assimilate board. Yes. Well, obviously the first time was when I assimilated Neothermic, right? Or I got Neothermic
assimilated. All right, let's get back on topic. Okay.
And the second time, I don't know, Brainy, I think, banned me for a short time. I can't remember. I think that's what it was.
Making friends left and right, David, as always.
And that was only a short ban. Neothermic, now, he banned me for like 2 days. It made my avatar like this pink.
Folks, this is an example of what you should not do when you are a team leader.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't do that.
Ban your own team members, even in jest. Unless they're really...
I'm still here, right?
Really? Yeah, you know, you remember when they had they changed my avatar to this kitten with a pink dress? You don't remember that?
Yes, but I thought it was a joke. I thought it was 5 minutes at most.
No, they banned me for 2 days. He banned me until I got him unassimilated. So I had to have Gonculator liberate everybody from the Borg just so I could get unbanned from phbb.com.
All right.
Oh, wow.
All right, David, talk it off. Let's back to the topic. Anything else you guys have to talk about?
No, we've exhausted that topic. Let's move on.
Members.
If people have any questions, they can post more. You know, they can post in discussion topics on phsv.com or Start to Guide or wherever they.
The big thing is common sense. Use common sense.
Very big common sense, and that's important for staff members as well.
That's subjective.
It is. It always will be, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not something that you can change, though, because obviously, even if you take 10 different people, even 10 different PHBB team members, and you ask them how they would react in any given situation, you're probably going to get at least a few different answers.
At least, so we'll probably have 10 different answers. Yeah.
That's fine. There's nothing.
Maybe five similar answers.
Everyone
has 10 different answers.
Everyone has their own style. I think Dave and I've talked about before. Just within the mod team, but for mod validators, every validator has their own different style. Responding to people and validating things and reporting different things, and so you remember that your staff give your staff members the power to be able to work on their own and the resources to be able to work together as a group.
That's perfect. That's exactly what sort of my goal is. That's exactly it. Let people do as long as you trust the people you're working with. Yeah. You should trust them enough to let them do what it is that they're doing in their own way, and just sort of hope that they will come out. With what you intended them to come out with, and help them out. So do whatever it is that you need to do.
In Patrick O'Keefe's book, he has a great quote from Dwight Eisenhower. It says, "You don't lead by hitting people over the head. That's assault, not leadership."
Yep, that's exactly
perfect.
That's
news
perfect,
to me.
So.
That's how you get people to do what you want. Threaten them.
That's the express route.
Yeah,
sarcasm.
Hey, that's how we got Start Your Guide successful, right? No.
Yeah.
I think that a good leader will be able to get people to do what it is that ultimately needs to be done without
them.
Forcing everything to be done in a specific way.
You either force them or bribe them.
David, you don't have to.
Sure.
You don't have to hit people over the head. Just force them to listen to this show on a pair of headphones, and their head will feel about the same way.
That's what we use for alternate threats.
You have to listen to PHPB weekly.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I think Yuri is reconsidering his Monday drive.
I'll have nothing to do tomorrow, because I already listened to this, and I hate listening to myself.
Yeah, that's actually true. I don't listen to this podcast because I have to listen to it when I edit it, so I don't listen to it. Let's move on to the mod style of the week, so we're going
to
close up this episode because I do have a time limit before I have to go. The mod of the week is another mod with long two-word titles. It's Milestone Congratulations by Martech X. And this is a pretty interesting mod. There are a lot of... a lot of people like to celebrate big milestones, including myself. I'm counting down. We have only 15 episodes left till we get our big 100, which is really exciting. However, for boards who like to recognize big milestones, this is a great mod for you to have. Essentially, when you hit like a certain milestone for your number of posts you have, or number of topics you have, or number of users you have, this will allow you to... identify that within the statistics section on your board index. So, for example, suppose someone makes the 1,000th post on your board, then it will say under your statistics, post number 1,000 has been made by Highway of Life, for example, or the number of topics or number of users, for example, the 100th user to register on your board. In fact, I remember about 3 years ago, actually, about 4 years ago, I registered on a board, and I was the 100th person to register, and they had like this big celebration, like, woohoo! And I'm like, yay, I'm the 100th person, and it's totally random. So this is a great mod for that. Essentially, the way it works is you configure it in your admin control panel, and you set an increment. So, like, once the 1,000th post has been recognized, then it will automatically increment to wait till the 2,000th post is made or the 3,000th post is made. You can determine how you want these to increment for each different milestone that you are keeping track of. And it has also a history page you can use to go on to sort of see the history of each milestone along the way and who was the user that made that particular milestone. So it's a very interesting mod for those of you for sites that like to keep track of these kinds of things, recognize people who are lucky enough to make these kinds of things. So give it a try. I think it looks like a really great mod. What do you think? What do you guys think?
Sure. Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah.
something else that's fun for the board, I guess.
Fun stuff.
You have that type of board.
Yeah, I think whatever can make a community stronger is always a good thing to do. So
fun stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun.
So long
fun
as
stuff
this isn't encouraging people to spam, and so that they can reach a milestone, because that's not good sense. But
as I say, you fix one thing, you make something else worse.
Whatever. It's up to you, but if you like that kind of stuff.
Especially for smaller boards when you're just starting out and every 1,000 post is a big deal. I don't even know how many posts there are on phbb.com. I don't have the slightest idea.
Yeah, you guys have a lot. You guys might want to do it like every 100,000 posts.
Well, it's not something that
we are actually,
like.
Apparently approaching on 3 million, so I had no idea.
Yes, yeah, we are. Yeah, 3 million. 500, we're over 500,000.
I remember 2 million.
333,000 members.
Yeah. I recall when we hit 2 million. I do remember that day. So I guess 3 million will be another very good day. We still have like 100,000 to go until then, though, so.
I'll bet you very few team members will actually notice.
We
wouldn't have noticed if we weren't on this podcast.
I have no idea how many posts I have, for instance. Not even the slightest idea. I would probably be off by a few thousand if I was to guess.
Guess.
Guess. Well, whenever you guys hit 3 million, you can let us know. I'm not going to keep track.
Yuri, guess fast.
Guess fast. 23,000.
Hey, not too far off. 24,737.
Well, there you go. See, I honestly have – I look at the number every single day when I post and I see it on the side, but it doesn't
process. Register.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Matters
exactly.
Very little.
Right. Like this is the mod you need right now for Star Trek. Like, she always would be like, you are the kind of person that likes milestones.
Who, me?
Sure.
David. Talk to David.
Oh, David. Okay.
Well, I like stats.
Or your stats.
I like stats. I do. Yeah.
This is marking. Now, the only thing I would like to see in this mod, they have this milestone history page. It'd be nice if he could put in the history when each milestone was met. So, like when the 50th user or whatever 100th topic was posted. So, that's the only thing I'd like to see in it. But I think it's a nice looking mod. So check it out. Style of the week. Pick this. It's probably going to make you thirsty, but it's kind of appropriate for us because how we all this podcast right after we wake up. So it's called Coffee Time by Abel, and it's based on ProSilver, but it's quite interesting in terms of some of the things he's done. The header is he's actually expanded the header with tabs you can put on other parts of your website, so it's great for if your board is just a small part of a larger site, right? If you have a homepage or a blog or photos or things like that in there. So it's kind of a nice for a CMS extension. The actual links for login, registering, the member list, the user control panel, things like that, he's actually made some rather big icons for it, which are pretty interesting to look at, to hover over. And also on the homepage, he's actually has a sliding bit of sliding JavaScript to show and hide the who is online and statistics information. So you can hide that if you want. It is based on ProSilver, like I said, but it's quite interesting. They've actually done, like we said, we like to look at styles that have done a bit of work in customizing and changing the look and feel of the basic Pro Silver or Sub Silver 2 a bit. And that's kind of what he's done here.
How much has he changed as far as templates?
Sorry?
As far as templates, have you looked at how much was actually changed and as far as the actual template?
I talked about some of the things they did, like how you have the sliding JavaScript for the information and the header.
It's mostly just overall header and overall footer, right?
Some things on the page. Like I said, some JavaScript. I mean, it is still fairly reminiscent of Pro Silver, but it's a bit more unique than the average, here's Pro Silver exactly as is with a different color type of thing.
You know, I think it's great. I don't particularly love having the huge header just because it makes people scroll. So yeah. I'm all about accessibility. So I would stick that on the...
In that case, if you saw my blog, you would hate my blog.
I mean, I don't hate anything, but I'm all for accessibility, so I would stick that on the left-hand side, for instance, and not all the way on top, not make this big thing. But it looks very professional, and I love that it's possible to do this with Pro Silver. So the idea that this is possible to do is great.
Plus, I think that's a great-looking cup of coffee there in the sugar cubes,
I want some now, yeah.
Yeah, that makes me want to – I was just at Starbucks yesterday buying some gift cards. So.
I drop coffee, so I – Now it's like a little addictive thing. Like I said, pretty much stopped drinking coffee.
Yeah. Like I said, perfect for us. David wakes up right before the show. I don't usually. This morning I overslept, so. Yeah. But yeah, that's Coffee Time by Apple, Style of the Week. And that's it. That's it for pretty much this episode of PHP BB Weekly. Check out our website, phpbbweekly.net, for show notes and links of everything we talked about on this show. All our other episodes are there as well. Check out our forum at StarTrekGuide.com, the PHPBB Weekly podcast forum, for some additional discussion, questions about things we do on the show, things like that. Just last night I posted a copy of an IM Yuri and I had last night, and I called it my philosophy behind podcasts.
I'm glad I could do that with you.
Yeah, that was just great. David, if you ever try to see that, go take a look at it.
I will.
It's called Food for Thought. Our next episode is episode number 86, next Saturday, November 22nd at noon Eastern Time, 5 p.m. UTC time, 1700, whatever you want to call it. So please be sure to join us for whatever we're going to talk about next week. Also, PHP BB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Check out techpodcasts.com for other great technology podcasts. Also, next Saturday, after our show, remember last year, Todd Cochran, who's the guy in charge of the Tech Podcast Network, did a 24-hour podcast, and he invited guests from other different podcasts on the network to join him throughout the day. He's going to do that again next week. He's going to be doing a fundraising money for a veterans charity, which will be very interesting. And while he has not released the full schedule yet, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be joining him sometime during that 24-hour podcast, talk a bit maybe about PHPBB or about, some other things that have nothing to do with this podcast at all. But if you get more information, I'll be putting some info about that on our forum. So if you want to check that out, it's a 24-hour podcast for a very good cause. You can go take a look at that. So we'll probably have more information about that, and I'm really excited about it. It was a great thing he did last year. So, great things our network does. Yes, he's going to be awake for 24 hours doing a podcast.
It's not even the awake part that's worse. It's the talking part. So, I mean – does he then not speak for the next month to compensate for that?
Maybe he talks a lot naturally.
He survived pretty well, actually, when he did it last year, because I was on towards the end of his 24 hours last year.
What the trick is to get a lot of sleep before that day. Make sure you're all rested up the whole week before, so that
I've been awake for 24 hours.
Awake for 24 hours, that's fine. But see, what happens on a podcast is you start doing things like slurring and stuttering and something like that. You don't want to do that sort of thing on the podcast. And once you get tired, naturally you just do that. Even though, you could stay awake for 36 hours or whatever straight.
That'd be a hard one for me. I've never been awake more than 20 hours. But, after like 16 hours, I'm losing it. So,
well, I mean, again, I've worked in places where I've had shifts that were lasted 24 hours. So it's not too horrible. You get used to it after the first couple times, I guess.
You see, I don't drink caffeinated coffee. So,
as I said, at this point, neither do I. So I used to in large amounts. And
Paul takes coffee through an IV.
I do not. That's random. Thanks for listening to this episode of PHP BB Weekly. Thanks to Yuri for joining us today and offering his timeless wisdom and expertise on all topics.
Anytime.
Yeah, it's always great to have you joining us. And again, congrats on your promotion.
Thanks.
I'm Douglas Bell.
And I'm David Lewis.
And remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag, you're it. See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.